WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I've got the new logo up on the screen, the 25th anniversary. I'm tinkering with our slogan, whether it's still alive at 25, alive in 25, alive despite of a lot of things at 25. But either way, Baltimore Positive is alive and well. We're back from the beach. We were at Mako in Ocean City. You'll be hearing lots and lots of that stuff this week because I sat with, everybody from the governor down to the mayor and senators and delegates and council people and Republicans and Democrats and friends and foes. All brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, where they reported a whole bunch of money and earnings for the state. I had John Martin and Seth Elkin on about that as well. We're going to be at Pappas next Tuesday, the 29th, with our friends from Window Nation, 866-90 Nation, as well as this guy. I don't know what I did with the crab mallet. I think I left it in my bag. Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global. I mentioned you a couple times because you have beach property in Delaware and the tax thing in Ocean City, and I had Carl Anderton on, who's definitely on your side of the political fence, from Wicomico County. Had a long conversation about him driving across the bridge for Ravens games, Orioles games, big Baltimore sports guy, and a friend of mine as well. And the whole strip of land in Ocean City, how thin it is and where it is and going there and the bridges that get things there. I still marvel at it after spending 4 days down there. And I was with some dear beautiful friends of ours, Billy Cole and, other people, Micah Demerick, who I think you know as well. We're running around all these parties and doing all this stuff. My dear friend, Michelle Bresnik-Walsh from There Goes My Hero. And I just think to myself how many memories I have at the beach. And there's nothing better. And it's almost like a Jimmy Buffett song, right? Like the beach is winding down. Kids are going back to school, but like a good time. And I'm ready for football, Leonard Raskin.
I hear you. So quick beach story. A few weeks ago now, I was at a two-day conference. It's a mastermind conference with a group of about a dozen folks that I work with. Once a quarter, we get together and we kind of help each other out in business. You got some other entrepreneurs to bounce your ideas off of and hear what they think about what's going on for you.
By the way, I've been
them.
Doing that kind of work for 20 years. I'm indebted to every person who ever helped me.
Shout out to you,
Jason Pappas. You
get that great opportunity to hear other people's ideas. So talking beach, after this conference was in Annapolis, oddly enough, it was in Annapolis. And post the conference, there was a couple there from Wisconsin. They were in from Wisconsin for the meeting, and they were going to do a two-night down the ocean Hawn beach weekend, get some crabs, crack some Maryland crabs for the first time in their lives. And this is what was stunning.
Had never been to Maryland, like Ocean City's just
never been to Ocean City.
Ocean City might as well be Pensacola or
anywhere America.
Like, okay.
These are business owners, and they were going to stay at the Plym Plaza.
Oh, how awesome.
And I said to them, oh, my God, do I have stories of the Plym Plaza?
See, that was my mother's place.
That was the spot back in the day when we would jet off during high school, college. We'd go to the beach. We'd hang out at the Plym Plaza on the patio with the rocking chairs with Paul Revere smorgasbord down below, and the mug and mallet.
$10.99, all you can eat, and your parents couldn't afford it.
There you go. And eating and having a ball and watching the people go by. And
there's
right
little
there,
hallways in the Plym Plaza just
crazy.
To prove to you that I've been crazy. There. Like, you go down underneath. It's like Churchill's bunker down there.
Right. And the last piece is, I don't know his name. You probably know his name because you know everybody. Mr. Jesus sand sculpture man.
The sand sculpture man, but
how is right there.
Elvis. I paid tribute to Boardwalk Elvis.
There you go.
On the internet, I found a picture of him on the 4th of July with the boombox up to his ear,
right,
and a cowboy
right,
hat. Right.
Right. And the sand sculpture with hundreds of people that don't know, never been.
Blue, purple, red lights.
Oh,
right,
just
there around
just
Division
utterly
first,
amazing.
Right?
The Last Supper made out of sand. Is there
Can
anything
I tell you
better?
A story that's going to cost me my sponsorship with you? Okay, like fully and every other sponsor. So you can't go down there without remembering every girl, every fun
absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Things I've
absolutely.
Done with my kid, things I've done with my parents, things I did with my father, things I did with my cousins. Like I told my friend And I said, if you and I were to go down to the inn right now, we were just to drive slow or take a bus. Let's just, because it would stop and give me a chance to story tell. That if I had that 40 minutes from the inlet up to 130th, you have to go past Jamestown Road.
Right.
I had a
right.
guy come to me the other day looking for the castle off of Jamestown Road that my friends built for Mr. Kaplangis in Dundalk, GP 66, Greek Power 66.
Yep.
Like trying to find the map and the Google map of the castle off Jamestown Road. I'm like, it's there. I promise you. I Google mapped it. I'm like, there it is right there. You can go up the Jamestown Road right now and see it. So I have all of these memories. I was at the Princess Royal or the Princess
Royale.
Bayside. I was at the Bayside
yep,
on
yep.
45th. And I was saying, and like there were electeds there. There were people with guns
sure.
and cars and like all that going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I remember when this was built and the Princess Royale was built in the 80s. And that was going to be, that was going to transform Ocean City in the late 80s. Right?
Right,
like it was the Four Seasons, and now I go through there, and I marvel at how they get enough milk, beer, ice, water, electricity. Then I go to Secrets, and I walk around, and I've toured Secrets on the backside with Brian Billick, with Leighton, like serious, like they have a
yep,
generator
yep.
at Secrets that powers the whole island of Ocean City. That if a like. A storm hits at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night, and they've got 3,000 people in there that
right.
they keep their bar tab running.
Absolutely. Out
you
on the water.
You talk about business engineering.
Out on the
right?
water in a canoe, getting a drink delivered to you. Does it get better?
Yeah, I didn't have that in 88. All I had were the sand sculptures, Boardwalk Elvis, right?
Yeah.
And always the Scopies, right? The little
of
Scopie
course.
Photographers.
Of course.
You know?
Do they even do – they don't do that anymore,
they
do
they?
That.
Of course they do that.
They still do?
Listen, my son
I haven't been
made
there
a living for three summers
time.
Back in the aughts. He and his girlfriend. They lived above Shenanigans in the Shoreham Hotel.
Yep.
Same hotel that Tommy Conwell admitted that he lived in. And a lot of students have lived in.
Sure.
Ralph Sapia's family, my local lawyer here, dear friend of mine. Ocean City has all of this incredible, like, rich, rich history.
Oh,
that when you sit and talk to people about it, you know, it's one. And I thought of Batman. And I didn't. Here's the weird thing, Leonard. I spent 72 hours in Ocean City. I never was on the beach. And I was only on the beach side of the coastal highway one time for a cocktail party for an hour at the Holiday Inn. Every other minute I spent was on the bay side and not in a bikini. I mean, I just worked and worked, and then I drank and then I left, and that was the end.
Well,
so,
I'll tell you, I have a client who's lived there their whole lives, not in Ocean City, but in Delaware, but forever.
Okay.
And he and his wife were, this is, my God, he's 70, so this would have been 50 years ago ish renting the umbrellas and chairs on the beach, and he put himself through law school by doing that in the summer.
Well, my son, he did the Scopies and then wound up at Secrets.
And chairs.
Like at Secrets, pretty girls. And I was going to take a picture of one of the prettiest girls I've ever seen in my life coming up for Scopies at Secrets at a bar at 10 o'clock at night. And my son did that 15 years ago at Secrets, worked at Secrets every night. And I thought about my son, like the loud music. My son doesn't drink much. My son doesn't really.
That's how he made money.
Humored by drunks.
That's
but
how
like
he made money.
Selling Scopies at 1 a.m. to drunk bachelorettes wearing – it's all Barbie now. It's all Barbie cosplay.
Goodness.
So you there are 15 Barbies in various pink, lavender, mint green dresses with hair
Here I
to
am.
Match.
I'm all set up. I'm ready.
It looks like something out of Scooby-Doo. But so my son did this at Secrets and made a living doing it. And this prettiest girl, and I was going to take a picture of her and send it to my son and be like, I don't know how you ever had this gig.
Right, right.
How did anybody ever buy anything from you? And
it's
I'm thinking to myself,
isn't it?
Well, you were kind of a good-looking 28-year-old guy with some rap with, you know, bachelorettes. But, like, I should just do an hour segment with my kid on selling Scopies at Secrets. Because I've never talked to him about it.
Oh, absolutely.
I've never
absolutely.
Talked to him about the business of it or bad things that happen or fights he saw or crap he saw or any of that. But I I spent 3 days in Ocean City, and I love it, and I love the memories, and I love being a part of it. What, give me the beach thing for you, and we'll get on the politics and baseball and football.
Yeah,
But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
but did you do the Plym Plaza with your family? Because I did. I did
No,
with my mom, you
never
know?
with family. Family was too poor. This was during late high school, college. This was with friends. So I worked at Murphy Mart, Liberty Road, Murphy Mart, in the electronics department. I was selling Commodore 64s and Atari game systems, the first of the ever computers back in the day, with a fine Pong on the cartridge.
Did that
And then
Murphy's have a cafeteria?
It did. A
Okay.
pretzel. You could get the best soft pretzels in the world there.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I worked there, and Friday night, the place closed at 9:30. And a bunch of us would jump in the car at 10, 11, get to the beach at 2, hang out in the inlet till everything closed. We were hanging out. Then we'd sleep in the car or on the beach.
Guilty. I
then
slept
we'd hang
in Rob
out.
DeBeus'
Yeah.
Vega.
There you go.
Literally on the 1987 on Fifth
That's
Street.
It.
Cop
That's
shines
it.
The light in our and says, you can't sleep in your car. And
okay,
I'm like,
fine.
What do you
Where
mean
are we
I can't
supposed to sleep?
Sleep in my car? Where the
Right.
hell am I supposed to sleep?
My car. What do you mean I can't sleep in my car? We'd go down.
We
we'd
just
hang
tilt the
out.
seat back, man.
That's
And that
right.
was sleep. You know,
That's
it was
right.
good.
And then we'd sleep during the day on the beach, and then we'd hang out all night, all
I'm
over the
glad I'm not the
boardwalk and
only one with
bars.
this story.
Oh,
I'm glad I'm not the
absolutely.
only one.
Absolutely. Never with the family, always with the friends hanging out. Then we'd go back Sunday night. We'd drive home.
So I was going to tell you the story was going to cost me my sponsorship. Then we'll get on to the Orioles and the Ravens because it'll be fun. Leonard Raskin is here, Raskin Global. He handles money, the American dream, sports, fun, all that politics. We do it all around here. But so John Raffalidis is a dear friend of mine, and shout out to John. John's, making his way through life with his daughter and his wife. And he's one of my favorite people. He's my roommate for years at Kane Street. We used to throw parties that certainly would cost me every sponsorship I've ever had in my life if we had TikTok back then. As Lionel Richie pointed out on Saturday night,
Hallelujah.
That we had TikTok, we're all in jail, as he pointed out.
Absolutely.
So,
not working. Not working.
So we went down, and I know you appreciate this because this is 1986, 78.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
I got out of high school 85, 88, 89, 90. I went every year with my friends to chase girls senior week,
Right.
mid-June,
Right.
all that. Right. And we'd always try to figure out a situation. We get a condo. Somebody knew somebody that would let us rent their condo where they weren't
Yep.
going to steal our money for the $100
and you weren't
deposit
going
and
to
all
steal
that.
their stuff. Right.
Right. And we were cool. We might have girls in the room, but we weren't going to throw parties in the room. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we went down to the airbrush stand right next to Alaska Stand, Dumpsters, Candy, you know,
The
like
whole
all
thing.
that, right?
Yep.
And the person would airbrush, you know, whatever you want, Farrah
Yeah.
Fawcett, whatever was important to
Sure.
you in 1984,
Sure.
right? She's fresh. She's exciting. That was the big song, Cool in the Gang, my senior week, right? So we got this idea to have boobs spray painted on our white t-shirts. And all of us had six of us walk down the boardwalk Saturday night with airbrush boobs. So this got everybody smiling, right?
Of course.
Like,
of
just
course.
Walking. So it was just an entree to meet people, you know?
Yeah, of course.
So
people
I still have
talking.
The shirt. And my buddy John Rath, my wife thinks it's hilarious but scary, right?
Right.
So I'm like, it was the 80s, man. It was 1987.
Right,
you wanted
right.
to meet girls. You wanted to make people laugh. I guess it was more of like a comedy thing than it was anything at all.
Of course. Of
but of course.
course,
you know, the dudes from Philly would come down and like try to squeeze, you know, and
yeah.
you're like, you're always doing defense. So we
right.
learned how to not do that. But that's my story. It's going to cost me my sponsorship and
no,
my whole future. But it was 36
stuff.
Years ago.
So I have,
you know,
remind me next time we're getting together to bring my Scopies. I've still got some Scopes.
I have my Scopies too.
So I have some Scopes, and I guess it was 2 years ago-ish now, my birthday week, one of the guys that I was at the beach in a scope with, I guess he took it apart, shot the picture of the scope, put it on Facebook.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I have my
Hysterical.
Scopey up from the summer
Hysterical.
88. If I can find, I mean, what do you do? You Google the word Scopey? I mean, is that what you
I
do
don't
to
know.
find your scope?
I don't
I mean,
know. I have no idea.
Leonard Raskin is here. So I sat with all sorts of politicians, all sorts of things. I tell you what, Leonard, the one common denominator just on federal money and fixing the city and all this stuff was the Baltimore part of the Baltimore Orioles, right?
Yeah,
so whether
how about
I'm
that?
Sitting with Ben Cardin, whether I'm sitting with Wes Moore, and I did, and the stadium and the lease, everybody's talking about the lease. Everybody's talking about team. John Angelos isn't hiding anymore, right? And certainly not with a first-place team. Does he want to hide? Or when he's on ESPN on his phone and drinking a beer, and he, but when it comes to Kevin Brown, he wants to hide. That's not the accountability that I think we're seeking here. And on both sides of the aisle, on both sides of the Bay Bridge, there's, you know, palpable conversation about the Orioles on and off the field.
Yeah. Well, it's good to get healthy against the Oakland A's. And you look at their situation with 8,000 fans last place, and you think a couple few years ago, there we were. And now we've had this turnaround and 38,000-40,000 in the stands, and a first place team going to hopefully the playoffs and well beyond, and great kids playing great ball. And all I can think is I hope they stay. And I've hoped this even when they weren't good. But playing like this, you think, oh my goodness, they're playing the best ball they've played in years, and it's the perfect time to up and move the boys. And you want to hear something that made me thoroughly sick, same time, and this is pure happenstance. I think it was Friday night? Okay. Saturday afternoon, I think. I don't know when it was, but whenever the Colts played this weekend, I happened on NFL Network, just kind of flipping through the dial, and there were the Colts and God knows who playing preseason football. And in the booth was an interview with the local indie broadcasters, which they were showing on NFL Network, and Irsay. And they were about to celebrate an anniversary of the Mayflower move to Indy. And he was talking about how he walked into the room and these guys were in there, and he told them the deal was done. And in the middle of the night, the trucks were coming and they were moving the team to Indianapolis, and how great the support is, and that they were going to have a big celebration of that event coming up. The anniversary.
Well, we did that. We did that to Cleveland. I mean,
I get it.
Right?
I get it.
But what the league, that's what the business of the league.
No, I get it. Absolutely. Forced, absolutely. You know? And well, theirs was a little more hidden and sudden than Cleveland was, I think. And then all I could think while I was watching the O's batter the A's was, you know, they want to be Vegas. And fifth inning of the game, the whole crowd, 8,000 strong, is screaming, you know, Oakland A's, stay in Oakland, stay in Oakland. And they're looking to move to Vegas.
And it's amazing how Masson presents that over the weekend, and there's no mention of any of that. There wasn't
no
even
mention of the lease. No mention of the lease.
There also wasn't a mention of the Oakland A's facing elimination on August 20th, too, right?
Right.
It was literally their elimination game. It didn't happen until the eighth inning.
You know, Kevin Brown wasn't going to talk about it because he'd be suspended for another 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
What's he going to say? That was us 2 years ago, 3 years ago,
it really
the last
is
10
gross
years,
when you peel back the onion of that part
years.
Of the broadcasts. It really is. It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, you're not saying anything wrong. You're talking honesty. You know, look where we've come. Look how far we've come with the team that's now running, the group that's running the team, that's in charge, that's picking the players, that's making things happen. And look where we are from where we were. We were this team in the not too distant past. And look at where we are. And now they're looking at moving. And look at where we are. And let's hope that that doesn't befall us. And that's an easy conversation on the air that just isn't allowed to be had.
Well, it can be had here, and it was had on and off the air in Ocean City last weekend.
Yeah,
with all
but
of
I'm
these
saying
elected,
it can't be had on the Orioles broadcast.
I learned a lot. I learned a lot over the weekend. So I'll share a few things I learned in regard to Nashville, right?
Yeah.
Several people came to me and said, the Nashville thing, like, if that's John's dream, that's his dream. If that's Major League Baseball's dream, that's their dream. That's great. They have a little minor league park there, et cetera, right? The difference here is there's $600 million on the table. There's no state. There's no group in any other state. And the reason it works in Maryland is because Baltimore is so centric, and you can get David Trone and Carl Anderton and people in Chris Field and people on the Eastern Shore and people even in Silver Spring and Montgomery County to understand, like, the Orioles are important to Baltimore, right? And, like, we have to do this mafia thing where we give $600 million of public money to a billionaire just for, like, to keep the sacred ground here, right? So keep their business here. And we've already done that with the football owner. The baseball owner is waiting in line. In places like Tennessee, they don't work that way. People in Memphis don't want to do anything to help people in Nashville. People in Knoxville don't want to do anything to help people in Nashville. And there's a whole, like, as much as it might be black, white, east, west, you know, Republican, Democrat, in some places it's a non-starter. It's a non-starter in California to think that anybody's going to step up to save the Oakland A's or the Oakland Raiders or the San Diego Chargers or on and on and on and on and on, right? Like, all of this quasi-public money and what these creeps do to people like me when they want to report truth and what the creeps do to people like Kevin Brown, you know, much like I wrote in my letter to John Angelos, things they control and things they don't control, they abuse all of it. But in Tennessee, they just gave the football team $2 billion to build a stadium that they're going to host country music events at, that they're going to use in a lot of different civic ways. And it's a county bond there. It's not even a state thing. It's $2 billion that Cumberland County's taking on because of tourism and because Nashville has become the Las Vegas of the East, to quote Lefty Giselle, right?
So I'll be there Thursday.
So you're going to be in Nashville.
I'll be there for 3 days. I'm not seeing the stadium.
That there's any $600 million to give to Cowboy John Angelos, that doesn't exist in other places. So this was made very, very clear to me from the governor down, saying, like, dude, you just think we go to Annapolis and defecate out $600 million for billionaires? You think that just happens in Massachusetts or New York? Now, you could talk about the Bills and trying to keep the Bills there. But there comes a point where, like, there's only Mississippi and Alabama don't have this money. South Carolina doesn't have this money. North Carolina could never agree to bring a team to Charlotte to get people in Asheville and Nag's Head and Greensboro to come together and
give
Mr. Angelos $1 billion of free money to move his baseball team. So there is a little bit of what I've written about, which is, dude, you're one greedy SOB.
Right, right. I mean, right now, not only that, but you're on top of the world. You've made it all these years via TV, via gate, via merch, via hot dogs, whatever. And now that stuff is really flying off the shelf. I don't know the numbers, but I'm guessing Mr. Rutschman and Mr. Henderson's jerseys are selling like hotcakes, and not only in Baltimore.
Well, let's start this right here. You and Dennis have given him money this year. I'm watching every night. I'm thinking, I mean, I'm going to go to a playoff game or three one way or another, whether the Major League Baseball credentials me, which is Major League Baseball has never said no to credentialing me for any event ever. Major League Baseball has never denied me going back 3 years ago to an All-Star game. So I think I'm going to be there, but we're all there psychologically, right?
Yep.
Every hat that I saw on Coastal Highway, going in the parties, it's Oriole gear. You know, this is a bad time to screw this up, to your point, right? Like,
right.
This is a bad time to be a bad negotiator or to be a bad human.
Well, you know, one of the things we talk about with clients all the time is this notion of portfolio envy. Portfolio envy, we call it. And your mother taught you this when you were 3 years old, that the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. It just looks greener till you get over there and realize what kind of work it takes to make it green. Or what you could do to yours to make it greener. And people want to compare how their money is performing to all their friends, neighbors, colleagues, you name it. And they have no idea, because nobody tells the truth about how their portfolio is performing to anybody else. They may talk about some winners. They may talk about some losers. They may talk about average, but nobody, 95% of the people don't know how their portfolio is performing because they've never measured and tested the real numbers. And B, if they did, they're not sharing that with their neighbors and friends unless they want them to work with the person that they're working with. So we know it doesn't exist. So when people compare and want to know how this did versus the market, how it did versus their neighbor, their friend, doesn't exist. So So Angelos has got $600 million in the bag to walk away with and enjoy. And we've talked about this with Pashotti over the last year. I mean, money in business is fungible. When the PPP money came out, you could only use it for certain things. The EIDL money, you could only use for certain things. Great. So you use that money for those certain things and you document it.
This is $600 million to make
his business
better.
But then the other money, right? But then the other money that you earn, you can use for the things you would have used that money for that you couldn't use that money for, to make your business better, to expand, to grow, to sign Lamar, to sign Adley, to sign Gunner, and to paint the warehouse white. I mean, who cares? Whatever it is, you can use $600 million for whatever you want. And you say, well, I can't use it to buy my next mansion. Well, of course you can, because you just take money out of the team that you weren't going to use for stadium improvements because you got $600 million from the state.
How hard is this to have a good life?
It's free money. And if $600 million doesn't buy you enough, shame on you. My goodness. Come on, man. This is ridiculous. Sign the deal. Get on with it. Walk into the playoffs with your head reasonably high and out in public, acknowledging the joy that you created rather than the strife and concern that people are feeling about whether some other city's portfolio is better when you've never been there, never seen that, never done that, and it's not going to be better. Come on, it's ridiculous.
Drop the mic. That's pretty good. Leonard Raskin, I wish I had your crab mallet after that, but I have the shirt. Raskin Global, you can find him out in the front of Baltimore Positive. Sometimes you can find him on the beach in Delaware. Sometimes you can find him cracking crabs with me over Costas with his family. Kids
Absolutely.
Are back to school. Last thing for you, just quickly on this. Marlon Humphrey, you concerned about the Ravens secondary? I think you were concerned about the Ravens secondary when you were in crabs, and Humphrey was standing upright at that point.
Yeah, he was standing up and playing with a hurt foot. I don't know what it is about his foot. Jonathan Ogden had a foot problem, kept him out for quite a while. That was a toe. We've got, I think we got, what, two or three corners hurt. That's not good out of four. 75% down is not a good portfolio return, not a good time. So they brought in a guy, and they got a chance. You know, look, Eric's going to go out and get another guy. They're going to get the guy from Philly.
But that's not a $20 million guy.
No. But you gotta have back up till the $20 million guy comes back, and you hope they're telling the truth that it's a couple few weeks and he'll miss the beginning of the season and won't miss the season.
I'm quoting you on that. You hope they're telling
the truth. Yeah. Hey, that's all you can ever do, right? That's all you can ever do.
Except when you know they're lying.
Right. Well, then you know, but here you don't know unless you're his doctor. Right. And I don't think his doctor is talking.
Well, you know, time will tell. And you know, the fact that they're hopeful, good. That makes me hopeful. If that's what they want us to be, is hopeful.
Right.
God
right.
bless us. We'll see if he's back on the field middle of September, end of September. Because that would really, if he's not, you know, that. And if he is, even then, you're like, you know, how tender, how quick do you rush him back?
Right.
All those
right.
questions will be there, as well as for Lamar. And we learn nothing from this fake football. Leonard Raskin is here. He learns a lot about money and can help you live your American dream, maybe teach you a little bit more. You can learn more at RaskinGlobal.com. You can also find it at Baltimore Positive and maybe even next week at Pappas, your favorite crab cake. We're going to be down at Glen Burnie with Anne Arundel County Executive Stuart Pittman, who I did not sit with, but I did run into over the weekend. I'm looking forward to visiting with him down in Glen Burnie. Leonard, rest up. We got a long homestand here. We got football right in the headlamps here. We're 2 weeks out on the Houston Tech. It's a good thing they're starting against Houston. Get off to a good start.
That's it. Get that Ohio State quarterback in their sights and sack the rookie. He was great at Ohio State, but it's time to sack the rookie, as we always do.
You're only a Buckeye for a limited time.
We will
be down at Pappas, all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have these to give away in the bar right on Ritchie Highway, the 50th anniversary of the Wishbone. And I big appreciation to Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation for sponsoring us back out on the road. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour rolling into September. We'll be at Fadley's on the 15th of September to kick off football season as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.